Hello, friends. Thank you for engaging with The Homily by Pastor Chilwell from Chapel Hill. I hope this message encourages you, challenges you, and moves you to go deeper in your faith and enrich how you love God and love your neighbor in your day-to-day life. Just a reminder, like the scriptures and gospels themselves, this homily was written for a particular community in a particular context of time and history. And yet, like our sacred texts, I hope that these words hold timeless truths about God's unconditional love and grace. We hope these words speak to you in a meaningful way.
The Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this. Lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commandments so that you may love one another." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Happy Easter!
Happy Easter!
Christ is risen!
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah!
Nice, you remembered. Yes, it's still Easter. If you remember, 5 weeks ago, we celebrated Easter Sunday with lilies and brunch and an Easter egg hunt and hymns bursting with hallelujahs. And of course, we heard the story of how the women who came to the tomb of Jesus to finish his burial ritual, they found that the stone had been rolled away and that the tomb was empty. This was a surprise to them, and perhaps for our own postmodern ears, it still may be a surprise, this Easter good news, this Easter story. And we still ask, so what's next? What difference does this make in our world and in our lives? In the weeks that followed that Easter Sunday, 5 weeks ago, after the hallelujahs have calmed down a little bit and the lilies are gone and the Easter egg hunt candy is on the 50% off rack, we still heard gospel stories of the risen Christ appearing to his disciples. These resurrection appearances were met with a diversity of responses. Fear, confusion, doubt, maybe excitement about new possibilities of what could happen next. Worship and devotion emerging in new ways. And in the midst of all that, occupying the same room, hanging out with each other, the risen Christ enters that room, regardless of it being locked, and meets each one of them with however they are responding with the phrase, "Peace be with you." In our own world, and on our own UNC campus, and other college campuses, in our neighborhoods, in our lives, there still remains a diversity of responses of the realities that we face in our world. Fear, confusion, doubt, certainty, perhaps even excitement about new possibilities of what could emerge and happen next. Perhaps our own devotion and where and how we direct our worship is emerging in new types of ways. So yeah, it's still Easter, and we are still invited to be an Easter people, even when fear and confusion and doubt and uncertainty and anticipation and hope are all hanging out together in the same room. risen Christ still comes to each of us wherever we are in life and faith and doubt and says, peace. Over the last few weeks, our gospel readings have moved from resurrection appearances to flashbacks. Flashbacks from Jesus' life and teachings and sayings before he was crucified and before he rose from the dead. The purpose of this is for these lectionary readings to challenge us Jesus followers to reflect on Jesus' life and teaching through the lens of the crucifixion, through the lens of Easter Sunday, through the lens of the good news that Jesus is alive. These flashbacks now have new meanings and new insights of how Jesus lived and taught and postured himself in the world as one who shared and embodied God's kingdom has come near. Sayings and teachings like, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep as well. I will bring them also. I am the vine. You are the branches. Abide and stay connected to my love. And then today, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You did not choose me. I chose you. Hearing these and taking them to heart after witnessing and seeing again Jesus' passion and execution and going to the tomb with the women and hearing again that the tomb is empty, we are challenged to say and experience, oh, that's what he meant. That is what it means to be the Messiah. That is what God's kingdom come near looks like. That is what it means to love like Jesus. Love. Flashbacks are important. Some of my favorite shows and movies use them as a literary tool to help me understand what's going on with the plot, the characters in the story. Perhaps you can remember your favorite show or movie that uses flashbacks as a literary tool. I often reflect, if someone made a movie of my own life, what flashbacks would there be to help you understand who Will is? Perhaps it would highlight some mistakes that I made, I eventually learned from. Perhaps the people that guided and coached me in life and faith and doubt, and those God moments that helped define who I am today and how I posture myself in the world. Because the Will of 30 years ago is not necessarily the same Will of 20 years ago, or even the Will now from even 5 years ago. Sure, there is continuity. Goofy Will is the same Goofy William from the third grades in some different ways, and Seminarian Will is different from Pastor Will now, who's been doing pastoral ministry for 24 years. Thank the Lord. We are all in the process of becoming. God is calling us to be. So we lean into these flashbacks, these experiences, this love of God given freely to us, this good news that God chose us first, and we continue to grow what it means to be a follower of Jesus, what it means to love like today's gospel reading should sound familiar. It's the text we heard on Maundy Thursday of Holy Week. Maundy meaning mandate. Jesus gives a new mandate or a new commandment that we love one another. Now, the call to love is nothing new. Many a teacher and prophet and guru has taught us to love. But the way Jesus expressed it and embodied love was and is something we haven't seen before. This wasn't some just abstract command to love one another, but this is love incarnate, love with skin on, love in the flesh, love who welcomes the outcast and eats with the estranged, love who literally washes feet, love who dies on the cross, and love not letting death have the final word. This flashback from Jesus' life and this flashback from 6 weeks ago during Holy Week is calling and inviting us again receive this unconditional love and to hear the call to love like Jesus. Here's the good news. Regardless of how you vote, you are beloved. Despite where your heart lands on any hot topic or issue, you are beloved. You are loved no matter what you make on an exam, no matter if you are wrestling with doubt or if your faith can move mountains. You are loved with the love stronger than death. So, of course, all those things are important. They matter. But we start with we are loved first and foremost. Rabbi Jesus, before Holy Week, and the risen Christ after Easter, comes to each of us and says, "You did not choose me, I chose you. Therefore, go and love like I love." And from there, we receive this love, respond to this love, and we pattern our lives and actions from the love that we are loved with. That love has a deep and wide, rich spectrum of responses. Perhaps love looks like flipping over tables. Perhaps love looks like inviting Zacchaeus over for dinner. Perhaps love looks like inviting a zealot and a tax collector to be disciples, to be on the same team. Perhaps love looks like bending down and washing. Notice when Jesus talks about love, he's using the context of friendship. Not a command, do this or else, but rather as one who calls us friends. What's involved with friendship? What are the ingredients of friendship? Friendship takes time, trust. Friendship takes vulnerability, connection, listening, standing, advocating, and having the other's back. Friends are also truth tellers. That often happens in holding friends accountable and telling the truth in love, even if it's not what we want to. Friendship, love, trust, community. It's what we've been striving for in our relationship with St. Paul AME Church. It's what we're cultivating by supporting Camp Agape, Share the Love Appeal, helping youth find healthy ways to engage in community and nature and intergenerational relationships. It's what we cultivate in our campus ministry and in our intergenerational connections here in our community with one another. So where is God calling you to be a friend in this Easter? How is the love of Christ challenging you? Love, like. We often fear and feel that God is up there somewhere judging us. And yet, the good news of Easter is that God's judgment is the resurrection, not allowing death and fear and oppression to have the final word, revealing that love wins. Yeah, it's still Easter. Still a lot going on in our lives and world and community. Yet God's love isn't done with us. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If there is anything that stood out for you, or if you have a question, or you just want to have a conversation, you are always free to reach out and contact us. And remember, you are not alone, and that you are loved with a love stronger than death.